hopefully everyone had some good discussion groups. We're just going to get right into the wrap-up, so we'll ask Brother Ian to come forward.
Well, what a great start to the week. We could listen to some of your discussions, and we were in our own group just up the way there. We really enjoyed that as well, so it was really interesting to see it work. And Judy and I have been to Manitoulin Youth Conference a couple of times, but we were in our own classes, so we never really got to experience some of the breakouts. So it was kind of interesting for us to experience that for the first time. Very, very, very good. So one of the things I want to do every time we have this the wrap-up, I want to be able to ask this question at each of the wrap-up sessions that we have. The first is, like, what did you learn? And the second is, how will it affect your walk in the truth? Now, there's so many things you probably learned and just discussed, but if there's a couple of things that just came to your mind that bubbled to the surface as most impactful for you today, I'd love you to share that with everybody. And then we'll just close off with something that we may find interesting, or maybe just to add to our study of this particular section of Timothy. So does anybody want to just share with the group something that bubbled to the surface as a key learning? I know you had lots because I heard your discussion, so I know you've got lots of learnings. But sometimes it's kind of like, what comes to the surface when you think about things? I guess sometimes it's good for us to ask those type of questions.
We found one interesting thing is how it talks about the blasphemy that is brought to God. One of the questions in the workbook is you can go through a few different verses that talk about what it actually means to blaspheme God.
Okay. What'd you come up with?
And it's not just in our words that we can blaspheme,
right?
But it's actually in our actions. It makes it so much more powerful. So, right. For example, if we're not good servants to our employers,
yes,
they can't look at us and say, "Wow, this person is special." They're like, you know,
right.
What makes them special? We can actually turn people. We can make God be blasphemed by our actions. That makes it such a much bigger deal than just actually saying the words of blasphemy.
Yeah, that's a great point, Josh. That's a really good point. And that really would tie in, how is that going to affect your walk in the truth? Because if we can blaspheme through actions, not just words, we have to be careful what we do. And we're really going to see that, God willing, tonight in our class tonight. We're really going to see that pounded home to us. We really have to be careful how we act. Yeah, that's a great one. Anyone else want to share one of your lessons from your groups? Yeah, Jesse?
We talked about, in the case of Alexander and Hermias, falling away, how we don't necessarily shun people who fall away, but we can try to bring them back and preach to them, spend time with them, but not on a worldly level, bring them into our own environment, and kind of return them back into our group if we can.
So not so much maybe on the social side, but trying to work with them in the right environment to get them to come back into the truth. Yeah, that's a very good and it's an important distinction, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. Anyone else? Up in the front, a couple of rows? Yeah, Caleb?
I'm not exactly sure how I got this, but
sorry.
He was maybe kind of stuck about Paul in chapter 1. Forgiveness that he spoke of. But I had asked a question of if there's such thing as a blanket plea for forgiveness. As far as you know, you've done a lot of sin in your life, A, B, whatever, you have to confess every single one individually, what can you pray for forgiveness for the sins that you've done? So you know you've done, you don't have to remember them. And we can pray as a group. At a morning, for example, for the rest of sins.
Yes. Right.
It's not.
No, that's a great point. No, it makes really good sense what you're saying. So there's sometimes we can specifically ask, And then there's some that are more general. In fact, we know that's true because there's many sins that we commit that we don't even know we're committing. And so we ask for forgiveness of things that we're not even aware of, right? Or that God would bring it to mind so that we could be aware. Omission and commission, right? So we have to really think about that. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about in our group, Uncle James was sharing as we went through, you know, we spent a little bit of time on that prophecies, the prophecies about Timothy. Everybody remember that particular one? One of the questions we asked, and one of the hints we dropped was Acts chapter 13, right? Verses 1 and 2. And that there was prophecies made about Timothy that he would come. And Uncle James was showing us, you know, how that perhaps they were quoting from, you know, the Old Testament where they were building. And it talks about the idea of him being a builder in the helping Paul to the work as Paul went around. Paul, of course, was a tent maker, and Timothy was helping him. And so there could be Old Testament prophecies talking about people involved in the building. And then all of a sudden, they would prophesy, perhaps those in the ecclesia in Antioch who were prophets, specifically being able to identify Timothy. And so that's why when Paul comes on him in Acts 16, it's, behold, and there's Timothy.
Well, again, the tabernacle of David, you right. Raise up again the tabernacle of David, Acts 13.
Right.
And the Purim is he was a son of a woman from Dan, and his father was a Tyre. So not Purim, the king of Tyre, but Purim, another Purim.
Right.
And again, the Dan was the builder of the temple, the tribe of Dan, the builder of the tabernacle. So you've got those things. Right. So you go back to Solomon's temple was built by a man who was part Jew, part Gentile.
Right.
Very specific spirit. Now they're raising up the tabernacle of David, the spiritual temple.
And the whole purpose of the tabernacle of David was to bring in who? The Gentiles. And so what did they just come out of? What will happen in Acts 15 was the famous what conference? Jerusalem conference. And what did they decide at the Jerusalem conference? The word goes to the Gentiles. And what did James quote to help all the brothers and sisters to understand that? He quoted from, remember where he quoted from? He talked about the tabernacle of David, Amos 9, right? So he talked about the tabernacle of David. God will raise up the tabernacle of David. And the brethren went, right! David was all about bringing in the Gentiles. And so a word from James, that was it. They recognized from their scriptures, that's right, it's about the Gentiles coming in. So all of those points come into that. So those are other whole aspects that we could get into in our groups. Anything else that anyone else got from your group sessions today? What about the part, how it's going to affect your walk in the truth? What are you going to take away from today that's going to help you in your walk in the truth? Either how you're dealing with other brothers and sisters, how you're interacting with young people, how you're interacting with elders, a better appreciation of your own character, a better appreciation of Timothy's character and something you can exemplify in your life, a better understanding of something. What are you going to take away? I don't expect everybody to put your hands up and do that, but hopefully all of us can figure out what's going to affect you in your walk in the truth. What did you get from today's lesson that's going to make you different than when you first came into the group this morning? Because it's more than just having the knowledge of the incidences and the story. It's got to impact us. It's got to change us. That's what the word does. It affects us. And then we want to share anything that they're going to take away different today. I think Josh had a good one at the beginning. Anybody else want to add to that? You got to think about it, right? Because you've talked about a lot of points. But what's going to impact me? What's going to change my life in the truth? Seth?
Kind of going off one of the other things that was mentioned. We discussed between the two groups was as we pray for forgiveness for the sins that we know we've committed, praying for recognition of those things that we don't know we've committed,
okay.
So that
okay.
We can change at that point, recognize
right.
wrongdoing, and no longer do that thing.
Excellent. That's great.
Because we can't just ask for forgiveness for the things we don't know we've committed and cover our ears and cover our eyes and keep on going.
Right.
There has to be working towards godliness.
That's great. That's great. That's an awesome lesson to take away. Sorry, your name?
Ethan.
How
our love for our brothers and sisters and the world around us should be a lot. Carla moved a lot more. She'd be more helping them no matter how much it hurts after them. There's this world that's all acceptance and all.
Right. Right. That's an awesome one as well. You know, I think one of the great ones to just to kind of give your thoughts on that is that I would actually, you know, when we speak about those people that have these wicked lifestyles that we read so much about and see so much about, and the only ones that love them are the Christadelphians. How's that possible? Because the Christadelphians are the only ones prepared to say that's wrong. And if you're prepared to say that, you really do love somebody, because you're saying that is heading for destruction. And if you don't love them, you don't tell them. So it's the opposite to the way the world looks at things. And we should never forget that. So that's an excellent, not only do you have a great name, that's the name of one of my grandsons, but that is an awesome point. I think that's a great lesson to learn. Anybody else want to share? Yes. Your name again, sir?
Joshua.
Joshua.
Definitely go along with what Zach and Caleb were saying. In personal prayers, knowing how you can ask for forgiveness. I was talking to Jesse, I guess, about what I guess I was talking about. What they were talking about, forgiveness. I didn't want to talk about it in our group. Just about forgiveness, asking for forgiveness in our prayers, about the sins that we don't necessarily know. And it's not just forgiveness, is also asking God that if we can, He can show us those sins, that we can work on them, so that next time we can point them out individually, next time we can be able to know what they are so we can work on them.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for explaining those, because, you know, I can learn from those as well. So that's great. Thank you very much for that. That's really good. Anybody else want to share one before we move on? Okay, so each time we get back into our group sessions, one of the things I'd like to do in the wrap-up, you can be thinking about that in your groups, and as Uncle Ian's starting to get familiar with names, I'm going to start asking, is what did you learn and how will it affect your walk in the truth, okay? One of the things I just wanted to conclude on was, I thought it was kind of interesting when you look at the verse 19 of chapter 1, where we see that we have holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And then chapter 2, verse 1, so I exhort therefore, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all people. So he talks about shipwreck in the truth, and then he talks about prayer. And it kind of reminded me of something. Does it remind anybody of something? Does it ring any bells? Of any other place that you've read from that kind of similar kind of language? Yes, Caleb? Acts 27, and in what particular aspect there are you thinking?
They're shipwrecked, and also it's okay to speak in prayer for
them. Very good. That's a great one. Not the one I'm thinking of, but that's a great one. Yeah, good. Thanks for that, Caleb. Anybody else rings some bells? Yeah, Tim? Okay, right, yep. Yeah, okay. That's a good one. It's not the one I'm thinking of, but that's another good one. You guys have got some good ones. I'll share you the one that I'm thinking of. The one I was, well, first of all, before I just give that, hold that. Well, actually, I'll go to it. It's the example of faithful prayer that I think is picked up in James 1, verses 6 and 7. So really what we've got here is in 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. They put off the faith, they've made shipwreck of the truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I feel there's a bit of an echo here with James, or a bit of a similar thought that James picks up, where he says, but let him ask in faith nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And so you've got, James is pointing out that we can be like driven all over the place unless we have an anchor, unless we have our faith securely fastened. And what he's talking about here is he's saying, ask in faith, don't waver. In other words, what he's saying is, when you go to God in prayer, because we've talked so much about our, many of your lessons you were telling me about were to do with prayer. And James is saying, when you go to God, you've got to go to God in a certain way, because God is a certain way. And the way that James says in James 1 is, you go to God in singleness of mind, because we deal with a single-minded God. And the way the word wavering works there in the Greek with James is, it's kind of a doubting mind. In other words, the mind that goes to God in prayer and it goes, will he answer me? Won't he answer me? Can he answer me? Maybe he can't. You cannot go to God in prayer like that. When you go to God in prayer, you have to realize when you go to God, he's a single-minded God. He can answer prayer. He can answer our prayers. He can help us. And you go to God with that single-mindedness. And that's what James is warning the brothers and sisters about, that you can't go to God with a faith that's wavering or a prayer that wavers. You go to God because he's a single-minded God. He has no shadow, or when he turns, he's got no variableness. Everything God does is a single-minded God. So I think that's a very interesting, because if you waver, you're like that wind on the sea. You're going to go everywhere the wind goes. You've got no point. You've got no direction. You're just being moved around. And in Timothy's day, many had made shipwreck of the faith. They had taken the truth and they had moved it up onto the boulders and had been ripped apart from its foundations, because they weren't following the faith, they weren't following the correct direction, and they made shipwreck of the truth. So I think there's a real tie-in there between that and prayer. So I'll leave that one with you. I think there's a real emphasis on prayer, faith, and not wavering. Now, just a quick wrap-up here. We know at this time he's approximately, as we said, depending on how you view it, could be as young as 35 years, could be 30 years of age. He's working with the ecclesia at Ephesus. We've learned that. And some of the powerful lessons that come out of this particular section, for me anyways, is love should be our motivation for contending. That's why we contend, is because it's out of love. The Apostle Paul received mercy as a pattern for us. If it can happen to me, what can he do for you? That's really what Paul is saying. And we need to pray, and we discuss this in our group as well, so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in the truth. There's parts of this world that aren't so fortunate as we are, where brothers and sisters, young people, cannot get together like this. It would be shut down by the government. So we pray for the government that we can live in a quiet and peaceful life. And the thing is when we got into the adorning the women as the godliness for the sisters that Paul talks to Timothy about, the outward adorning reflects the thoughts of the mind. Outward adorning reflects the thoughts of the mind. And so that's why we feel that the apostle spent so much time, we'll talk a little bit about this tonight briefly, on the outward appearance of the sisters, because he's trying to get across what the inward mind will exemplify in the outward character. And that's why I think he spends so much time dealing with the dress, those type of aspects. So those are some of the things that we'd like you to think about as we go away. Anyways, we enjoyed the first session. It was really interesting as we got to listen to some of your different groups. And we look forward to tonight as you're talking about behaving yourself in the ecclesia of God. And we look forward to picking up the classes tomorrow. So thank you, Brother Tim. Turn it back to you.